Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
You would think that we would spend our time and our thought and our energy on things that are most important to us, things that are really of value. We wouldn't spend a lot of time on peripheral things, on passing things. We'd sort of major on majors and not major on minors. In essentials, there is unity. In non-essentials, there's diversity. But in all things, there's love.
The truth is, you don't have to agree on everything to love somebody completely. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message called Don't Major on the Minors. He'll open to Romans chapter 14 to show you how to live in unity and love with others, even when you don't see eye to eye. That message is coming right up. Welcome back to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Before Dr. Young jumps into his message today, we want to help you grasp God's Word like never before by sending you the one-year chronological Bible. It's the entire biblical text presented in the order of events as they actually happened. With as little as 15 minutes a day, you can read the whole Bible in 1 year and experience this incredible story unfold in history. The one-year chronological Bible is our way of saying thanks for your gift today to help The Winning Walk reach people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and get your copy of the one-year chronological Bible. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Don't Major on the Minors.
But so many of us tragically do major on minors, do we not? Our time, our energy, our emotion, our money, and that just all will pass away. And so as we look at this study of Romans, we come to the section here in chapter number 14 and about a half of chapter 15. We see all of these verses, and they deal with one thing. Now, we've already looked at how we are to have renewed minds, remember? We're to renew our minds in Christ. We're to have brand new ways of thinking. I wish Paul had spent more time there. And then he talks about present your body a living sacrifice. Well, Paul, I know I'm to present my body wholly acceptable, and but what all does that entail? How can I improve on that? How can I move forward on that? He didn't tell us. And as we look through all the gifts, remember Paul said the Holy Spirit gives the church gifts. Zip, he gives you that gift. Bang, he gives you that gift. We say, well, I wish I knew more how to utilize these gifts. I wish I knew how to determine what my gifts are. Maybe I've missed some. But he didn't tell us. But you know what he majored on here with all these verses? How we are to get along as Christians. Isn't that something? Evidently, he spent all of these 36 verses saying, you Christians need to get along. He's come to the end. This is the ending, the dramatic ending. And we say, oh, Paul, man. What a wonderful thing of doctrine and application and how to live the Christian life. And now, the drum roll and boom, you Christians have to get along with one another. Boy, that must be very, very important. And we know it is already if we remember the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Remember Jesus prior to the cross there in the upper room, he prayed this prayer. It's called the high priestly prayer. He said, Father, I pray that these might be one. He prayed that brothers and sisters in Christ may be together in the church. As he said, I am one with you. As Jesus is one with the Father, he prayed we might be one with one another. But it's a challenge. Is it? It was a challenge in the early church. Look at the setting there. Look at the setting. Cultures meet. The church in Rome, people came from all over the world, and they became Christians, and they worshiped together in that church. There were two groups, basically. There were the Jewish Christians. There were the Gentile Christians. The Gentile Christians were primarily the Greeks and the Romans. Then you have the Jewish Christians. And there, two cultures meet, and two more radical cultures you could not imagine. Think about it. The Jews were super religious, were they not? I mean, you woke up in the morning, you awakened in the morning, there was a religious ritual, you'd go through the Shema at night, the doorpost, how you dressed, how you ate, what you talked, where you went, when you worshiped, all the high priestly days. The Jews were hyper-religious. Thousands of years, religion, 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 that determined everything about your life. The method of government was a theocracy. Hyper-religious people, Jews, came to believe that Jesus was Messiah. They were in the church. The Gentile Christians came in from a total pagan background. Oh, they worshiped a pagan god or goddess, but they were decadent. There was no sense of religious ritual or formation in their lives. And now they meet in the church. The Jewish Christians became followers of Jesus. The Gentile Christians followed you. Totally different cultures. Is there any wonder there were some problems? Hello? Different race, different background, different language, different habits, different understanding of right and wrong and how you live in the world. And Paul addresses this. And essentially, let me tell you what he says. Follow me. And this is true for all of us today. He says, in essentials, there is unity. In non-essentials, there's diversity. But in all things, there's love. Now, that's the formula, ladies and gentlemen, for the body of Christ, the church. In essentials, there is unity. What are the essentials? The basic doctrines Paul has been talking about. The Greek word is the kerygma, that which was preached there to the world. What was that? The preexistence of Christ, pre-time, prehistory, the virgin birth of Christ, the perfect life of Christ, the substitutionary atoning death of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, seated at the right hand of God, the coming again of Jesus Christ, new heavens, new earth. These are basic essentials. Paul has walked us through them. We know from chapter 1 all the way through here until we get to this part of Scripture. This is doctrinal beliefs. These are the essentials, the ABCs. And then there are essentials in morality. In other words, there's a lifestyle that Christians live that's contrary to immorality. Years ago, when Billy Graham was holding a crusade in Hollywood, a notorious con artist, a notorious criminal, Mickey Cohen, came forward and professed Christ. Everybody said, oh my goodness, Mickey has become a Christian? I mean, he represented the mafia. He represented the height of corruption, but he's become a Christian. Everybody celebrated it. Oh, it was a great thing. Months went by, and Mr. Graham talked to him, and Cohen said, Graham says, how are you doing in your new life? He said, well, things haven't changed very much. He said, I started thinking. I said, you know, you have engineers who become Christians. They're still engineers. And you said you have postmen who become Christians. They're still postmen. He said, I thought maybe that God needed a Christian crook.
You're listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Yung. There's more powerful teaching ahead, so stay with us. But first, have you ever wanted to read the entire Bible but find yourself getting stuck around Leviticus? We want to help you experience God's Word like never before by sending you the one-year chronological Bible. This one-of-a-kind Bible weaves the story of Scripture together by presenting it in the order of events as they actually unfolded in history. So the text comes alive as you see God's hand at work in his story of redemption. The one-year chronological Bible is our gift to you to say thanks for your generosity today. It's only with the help of friends like you that The Winning Walk can continue sharing the proven truth of God's Word with people like you around the world. So please call today to get your copy of the one-year chronological Bible when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Or text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Now, here's a sneak peek at the teaching right after the break.
Who are you to judge the servant of another? Or is this another? If Jesus is their Savior and Lord, he's in charge of them. We're not to be in the judgment business. When you and I sit down on that seat, God says, get off that seat. You don't belong there. You're not God.
That's next on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So, we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video clips. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. Once again, here's Dr. Ed Young and more of today's message, Don't Major on the Minors.
And so they're moral things. Paul has already dealt with some of these, if you remember. He said, here's part of the commandments. Adultery. Lying, false witness. He lists all these things and said, you know, this is not who you are. So there are absolutes, ladies and gentlemen. And where the Bible has spoken out of these moral questions, it's a closed issue. So in essential doctrinal beliefs, moral beliefs, there is unity in the body of Christ. There's no debate. But in non-essentials, there's diversity. In other words, all of those peripheral things that we have out there that's in sort of the gray areas that you have debates about in the church over and over and over again. In the doctrinal area, the non-essentials I would qualify as not the real test of faith would be on views of the millennial. I'm pre, I'm post, I'm dispensational more than you're dispensational. I mean, this is not a test of faith for me. I'd even press it another statement, and I'll get all kind of letters on this, on the old earth, new earth people. I don't think that's the ultimate test of faith. Write me. I mean, there are a lot of things that we in the church, we have dogmatized and said, oh, you can't believe this. And a lot of that, I think, we would have to say are basically non-essentials. And in the moral area, there's a long list of this. I want you to see this list of some of the things I put down. Look at them. Cosmetics. Oh, it's a big thing. You can wear too much, too little. You've got on too much makeup. And we would put things that you cannot be a Christian if you blank. See, you cannot be a Christian if you, boom, used cosmetics. Movies, what movies you go to? Don't go to any movies, you know, R, no, PG, no, PG, movies. Alcohol, oh, ho, now we're talking, that's a real. tobacco, that's sort of we get to. Dancing. When I was a boy, we had an evangelist come to my home church down in Mississippi. He said, I've never seen a praying knee and a dancing foot on the same leg. Dancing, big problem. Still today in the church. Gambling. Oh, that's the thing. You know how to, you could. Fashion. For years, I would preach on too low here, too high here, on dresses and so forth, but I've quit doing it because I've run out of material. I just Bible translations, that's big. I get, you do not use the King James Version of the Bible. How in the world can you not use the original? You are a heretic, and on and on. The ISV is New American Standard. I mean, Bible translations. Sports. Oh, yeah, you say that's a problem. Yeah, sports is a real problem. If you doubt that, just turn on your television yesterday and today, and you'll see millions of Americans worshiping at their altar, their idol. And that certainly can happen. You see these big shrines? Oh, boy, they're packed out. Oh, yeah. Sports. Music. That music is too loud up there. I don't think that's God honoring. I'm telling you, that is too loud. And those choruses, where do you think we got the old hymns that some people won't get away from? Where do you think we got those tunes? Where'd the melody come from? There were bar tunes that were sung there in those days, and Charles Wesley, John's brother, took and put Christian music to it. I mean, so we can't say a test of faith is whether or not you had that rock and roll music or we sang the great. Now, we have preferences. That's different. But a lot of churches are split over that. Material wealth. Oh, yeah. Hey, Bill, you brought that new big old car and you didn't even give to the leprosy fund. I mean, what's wrong with you using your... So we have all kinds of these non-essentials that divide us. And we have to deal with that. Let me tell you how Paul deals with it in our passage. I'm going to read four verses. It's going to outline our study. And then we're going to get down to some business that may not be too comfortable for all of us. What does Paul say? Chapter 14, verse 1. He said, "Now accept the one who is weak in faith." First of all, we are to accept one another. We're talking about non-essentials now. Not talking about absolutes, not talking about doctrinal absolutes or moral absolutes. These are the non-essential areas. We're to accept one another. Number two, we're not to judge one another. Verse 4, who are you to judge the servant of another? In other words, this another, if their Jesus is their Savior and Lord, he's in charge of them. We're not to be in the judgment business. We've already looked at that. When you and I sit down on that seat, God says, get off that seat. You don't belong there. You're not God. We're not to judge one another in the non-essential areas. And look at verse 13. It says, therefore, we are not to judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. We're not to trip up one another. And he's not to say, I'm not to trip you and you're not to trip me. And then finally in chapter 15, it says, verse 2, each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. We're to edify. We're to build up one another. So in all these areas of non-essentials, I'm going to break it down where you can understand it and see it. First of all, we're to accept one another. We're not to judge one another. We're not to trip one another up. And finally, we're to edify. We're to build up. We're to build up one another. Now let's pray before we get down to the teaching of the word. Father, we lift up our minds and our hearts to you. You speak right now and let me get out of the way so that your truth will be preeminent and will penetrate to the deepest levels. Any prejudice we have, any bitterness we have, any of that judgmental spirit that is so contagious, even in the body of Christ. You speak, O Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
When you hear stories from the Bible, do you ever find it challenging to place a story in the context of the larger timeline of Scripture? Or maybe wonder where those stories even took place? We want to help you read the entire Bible in 1 year with a clear understanding of all its events by sending you the 1 Year Chronological Bible. Broken into 365 daily readings, this powerful study tool makes God's Word come alive by presenting it to you as the events of Scripture unfolded in real time. And it's our gift to thank you for your donation today to help The Winning Walk continue encouraging people around the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to request your copy of the 1 Year Chronological Bible when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Now stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Yung returns right after this short break. And welcome back. You're listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Yung. I hope you'll visit our website for resources to help you walk the winning walk with Christ. Visit winningwalk.org. You can also request prayer, stream messages 24/7, and learn more about Dr. Yung. Or you can sign up for Dr. Yung's email devotional online at winningwalk.org. And if you're on Twitter, follow us for more daily encouragement. Our username is winningwalk. That's Winning Walk. Now here's Dr. Ed Yung to continue our message, Don't Major on the Minors.
It's been more than 36 years ago when JoBeth and I were in Israel. I've been there many times since, but this particular trip. We'd made our way with a busload of church members up to Capernaum, Capernaum as they pronounce it. Capernaum was the city of Jesus. He spent perhaps more time in his ministry in that area in Galilee than any other place. And so you go to Capernaum, you remember there's Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house. He spent a lot of time with his mother-in-law. And also there you have an interesting thing. You have the Ark of the Covenant, which is on wheels. People ask, how in the world could they move the Ark around through the wilderness? Well, there it was on wheels. There was a demonstration of it. All the way back to way back in antiquity. And then you have the synagogue right there in Capernaum where Jesus would have worshiped. And also you have a wine press there that went back to way, way before the days of Jesus where the grapes would have been gathered from the trees that are right there. They would be made into wine. And so that would be the wine that Jesus would have drank there when he was in Capernaum from this particular wine press. By the way, you can't build a case for total abstinence in the Bible. You can try, but you'll be unsuccessful. So we were in Capernaum, and we were leaving on a bus, and a guy came out and stopped and came on the bus and said, I want to give everybody on this bus a little cup of wine that came from the press, that came from the descendants of the grapes that Jesus would have participated, would have drank when he was here 3,000 years ago. Man. I thought, everybody, you know, boy, what a thing, what a moment. I said, oh, to drink the wine made from the press, the same trees Jesus would have drunk when he was at Capernaum on this earth, and I was there in Israel. Man, what a one. But he started on the bus and handed out some wine to different ones of the bus, and about that time, a woman stood up, member of my church. She was president of the Temperance League of Columbia, South Carolina. You have never heard anything like that in your life. I mean, she dangled us over the fires of hell and threw matches on us. I mean, if you drank wine, you had any alcohol to bear, you were going straight to perdition. I mean, it was strong. And she went up and down the aisle, and I was sitting next to the back seat there with JoBeth and just listening. How do we make decisions about the non-essentials here?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Yung. We hope today's message has encouraged you in your own winning walk with Christ. Today's broadcast is only possible because of listeners like you who give to keep The Winning Walk on the air and online, encouraging people all around the world with the proven truth of God's Word. We truly appreciate your partnership. And to thank you for your gift today, we'll send you the 1-year chronological Bible. This unique Bible leads you through the story of Scripture as the events actually unfolded in real time. In only 15 minutes a day, you'll grasp God's Word like never before as His incredible story comes alive in history. Call today to request your copy of the 1-year chronological Bible when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for joining us today. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Yung wraps up his message and challenges you to represent Jesus Christ by leading with love.